Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 8, 2015. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. And of course, we didn't do any warning the last couple of weeks because our live radio program fell on days that were holidays and that we had to be at the Mission Church in Wichita. And yet, even my producer said, well, aren't you going to make any pre-recorded programs? Folks, I hate pre-recorded programs. I just about soon take a beating and pre-record you a program where you don't get the energy in it and so on and so forth. Look, the way that it is, when radio plays, you're listening to me. This is what you get. We don't get to go back over it and change anything. It is live radio, and this is where the action is. And so we are live tonight, and we've got a great program for you. Anyway, if you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And remember, we are here for you. Anyway, you can find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is called prophecyhour.com. That's where you can find it at. Prophecyhour.com is a hub for all of our radio archives and tells you how to listen to radio on satellite, tells you how to listen to it other places, like over the phone and other stations. It also has a live button that many of you are probably sitting there listening to it live right now. But we know that most people, according to statistics, when you listen to radio nowadays, you're listening on your smartphone, which means that you listen to it by downloading it later. You listen to it by podcast. This live program will go to podcast right after our second program, which is on from 7 to 8 Central. And about 45 minutes after that, about 9 o'clock, it will go on the podcast. You can find the podcast over at prophecyhour.com, and you can click where it says End Time Radio Archives, and you'll find all of the Mission Watch ones, and you'll find all of the Prophecy Hour programs. These programs, those sites are very, smartphone friendly, and if you go to the archive site, it even has a couple of apps that you can use. Or if you go over to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, the station, they even point you to some apps that you can download to your cell phone. Well, enough with this jibber-jabber. Let me say a prayer and bring on tonight's guest, and he's going to inform us on some really important things. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not will, my will, and not necessarily our guest's will, but Father, your will. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Excuse me. Well, tonight's guest is Michael Daugherty. He is the author of The Devil Inside the Beltway, The Shocking Expose of U.S. Government Surveillance and Overreach into Cybersecurity, Medicine, and Small Business. He is a government whistleblower by necessity, a CEO of a cancer detection laboratory by trade, small business owner taking on federal agencies with courage that rivals David meets Goliath. Michael is on a tireless crusade to honor his constitutional rights and the rights of every U.S. citizen, and that means you folks out there. Michael's story of victimization by a cybersecurity company linked to federal agency is not unique, and that he's telling the story is a play-by-play account of a questionable government practices. He reveals his chilling tale about how security is not the safety we think it is. His book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, is a must read for anyone who values freedom and takes it for granted. Now, I haven't yet read the book. The publicist is supposed to have been sending the book. Normally, they get them to me here before the radio program, and I haven't received it yet. But I will get it, but Michael will inform us. He is also the president and CEO of LabMD, an Atlanta-based clinical and medical laboratory with a national client base. He founded LabMD in 1996 after 14 years in surgical device sales with U.S. Surgical Corporation and Mentor Corporation. Well, let's welcome Michael and let him tell us himself about himself. Anyway, welcome, Michael. You there with me?
Good evening. How are you, sir?
Well, I think I'm doing pretty good. I got through the holidays, but, you know, I'm looking at your that was a miracle. That's always a miracle. We have a mission church in Wichita, Kansas, where we take care of the homeless and poor, and you wouldn't believe what all we go through during this season. But we helped a lot of people get through it, but then you throw family and everything else, the normal holiday stuff, and then all the overeating and all the rest of it. I am so glad it's over. How about you?
Yeah, I'm back in the cell, and so is everybody else. I'm sitting here in this massive Atlantic traffic jam. So if your listeners can hear me okay, I will get to a landline soon, but I hope it's clear. But we've had, the whole world's out, and it's taking 3 hours to go 2 miles here. But, you know, nothing's changed. Everyone's out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You said you're at the website.
I'm wet, sir.
I mean, you said you're at the website checking out The Devil Inside the Beltway.
Oh, yeah, I am. And I wanted to, I love the cover of the thing with the eyes and everything. And I used it in advertisement. And we'll use that book cover for the advertisement for the podcast so that people can see it. But, you know, the only thing I'm upset about this interview is they contacted me, the publicist did, about, you know, having you on the air, and, you know, I readily agreed, and they normally didn't send a book, you know what I mean? And the book usually gets here before the interview. In this case, it didn't.
And I'll have to make sure then, if you email me offline, I will make sure one gets sent out to you tomorrow. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting, because it's amazing the numbers that want them and the shocking to some that don't, so that never got to my system, I apologize. But I have a lot in my head.
Yeah.
believe me, I can lay it out.
I'm hoping for that. So take us into it. What's this about, brother?
Well, what this is about, the book is written like a thriller and a story, because my whole goal is to not just yell at the reader to exhaust you with how bad the government is. I really want to show you how they operate, and I show you by putting their emails, their letters, their communications in the book and tell the story of how my company that I founded, which is a pathology laboratory, it's called LabMD, and it's in Atlanta, and it's about 40 employees, and we bring in tissue, get sent to us by urologists all over the country, and we diagnose it for cancer, and we look at blood for tumor markers and urine for bacteria and organism growth and everything that's done in a urologist's office that they need analysis on. And it was a very good business. We were a niche player. We had very high expertise positions, and we were a private company and even a medical facility. One day, out of the blue, like a movie, in 2008, the phone rings, and it's a company called Tyversa in Pennsylvania. And the CEO was on the phone, and he said he found on one of the files on a peer-to-peer network. And his company does cyber intelligence. And he wanted to let us know and see if we wanted to hire him to make sure that it hadn't spread, find out where it is, all this. Now, that sounded interesting and scary, because we had, you know, we're a young company, and we had very good data security practice. We had, you know, the typical firewalls and modern equipment and antivirus detection and all that. And immediately want to know, wait a minute, how did you get this? And who are you? And prove it. Because just because some guy calls it out of the blue, you know, it's scary. So the first thing we did is defend the patients. We looked all over inside the company. We found no evidence of any leaks except in one workstation, in one office, we had an employee that was using peer-to-peer software without authorization called LimeWire. Now, what peer-to-peer software is if you have software installed in your computer that allows one of your folders to be shared with strangers, and anyone in there, anyone that has the way to get into your folder can take it, and just like you do, and it's usually for music exchange, listen to music. So this employee was doing this absolutely against company policy. And we inspect our workstations, and we missed it. And the file was in there, 9,000 patients in one file.
Wow.
Now, how he got it and how it was shared, it wasn't just sitting there forever. The machine has to be turned on. And you can't just go and look. You have to know what you're looking for. It's not like it's just sitting there out in the street. But that's what he'd like you to believe. So we start asking how you found it after we found that, closed it down, and we started looking outside in the universe. And to date, here it is, 2015, we've never found it anywhere. And we've never had a single injury, not a single patient. And he said he'd tell us as long as if we'd have to hire him at $475 an hour.
Wow.
And that's when things started to very quickly unravel. And I wouldn't speak to him except in email. So I don't tell the story of what was said. I show the reader what he said in his emails, because his emails are in the book and the communications are in the book. So there's no filter. There's no doubt. This is the words he said. And the reader gets to make up their mind. After about 3-4 months of going back and forth on that, we told him to go away. We thought we were shut down and secure. And we still never found an injury. We never found the file out there. And we didn't trust him. But he wouldn't go away. And later in 2008, his lawyer called us and said he was giving it to the federal government. And a year later, the federal government called us, acting like we were the problem. And they were going to start an investigation of us, not them.
Really?
And when the government starts doing that, you know, it's kind of like an IRS audit. You don't want to say what you're thinking because you don't want to get them upset. So you smile nervously and you do what you're told.
Yeah.
And they sent us, I mean, you have to, because the lawyer's unbelievable. This cryptic, cold, icy government lawyer sends us 11 pages single space and is treating us like we're under suspicion of murder.
Really?
And we submit 5,000 pages of documents. The lawyers kick in. We have to hire this law firm. We start paying them. And it's a basic nightmare because when we talk to them, they're acting like we're not cooperative. We're not answering their questions. And we keep repackaging. And then they wanted us to come to Washington, D.C. So my vice president, I and my lawyer had to fly up to D.C. And when they invite you to D.C., you have to pay your trip. It's not like they pay, call Delta, and they foot the bill.
Yeah.
So this is a small business to diagnosing cancer, and we're getting ensnared in this regulatory craziness. And we get there, and they're, again, very cryptic. They will not tell us what we did wrong. They will not tell us what we're supposed to do right. What they tell us is that the Congress has allowed the Federal Trade Commission to, and they've empowered them, to make sure that consumers are treated reasonably. And they're stretching that to say that they're responsible to make sure our data security practices are reasonable. Now, that's fair enough.
Right.
We believe there should be laws and regulations. So we ask a logical question. Well, what is reasonable? Well, guess what? They get to make that up as they go along.
Really?
There is no such definition of what is reasonable. There are no rules. There are no standards. They get to tear you apart and finger point what they think could have been better, and they call that unreasonable. And if you don't like it, you're more than welcome to go to court, and that will cost a few $1 million in several years.
Right.
And the way they get around this is then they get, I mean, that's coercion to get you to sign a contract with them that you will, and they call it a consent decree. and you consent to let them audit you for 20 years
really?
At your expense. And within the 20 years, that's when they're chock full of potential for fines and penalties. And you have to use an outside third company. And this is basically going to hit you up a $250,000 a year. Now, this is all without going to trial. This is all without admitting there's any guilt, right? And they think that'll just go away. That sounds so quaint. But when you're a medical facility
right.
and you have the trust of patients and doctors to hold their cancer results private and secure, and you feel like you've done everything and gone above and beyond, and they won't say what you've done wrong, and you find no injury, and you can't find the file up there, and you feel like you've been extorted, you're wondering what's going on. So I just didn't trust it, and I started researching. And I found out in the summer of 2010, and, you know, I should remember, by the way, that this is before Snowden and the NSA and
right.
WikiLeaks, and this, before any of this is in anyone's mind. So back then when I'm telling people this story, they think I'm kind of crazy or maybe conspiracy theorist. You know, they're like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
so it was very frustrating. Very frustrating. And they went and they turned out that Homeland Security had given $24 million partially funded grant to Dartmouth to research cybersecurity leaks around the internet. Fair enough. But lo and behold, they were using the company that called us that wanted $475 an hour to quote unquote help us.
Really?
And then I find out this company is in front of Congress testifying, in front of House Oversight in 07 and 09. And in 07, they're sitting there at the testimony table with the Federal Trade Commission and General Wesley Clark, who turns out to be on this company's advisory board. And it is, it's just incredible. It's surreal. And I'm thinking, well, they're all in this together. And
yeah.
there's no due process here. And what the heck is going on? And so I thought, well, I've got this all cracked. I mean, I you know, they're in this together, and this is all going to go away. So we waited and waited for the FTC to decide what they were going to do. We had to, while we thought they're going to make us sign a consent decree, they decided to keep investigating us for at least another year. And this rolls up your invoices another $100,000 at least from your law firm, and then we had to install all this new equipment. Now, when they won't tell you what you're supposed to do right and what is good enough, you have to guess.
Right.
And we find out that there's all this equipment isn't available to small companies. And we have 40 employees. And there's no market. There's no one marketing to us for this type of stuff. But we have to shoot as high as possible because they won't tell us what they want. And so we had to go get it. You know, we had to find big companies and get custom packages. And we spent $250,000. So. And then we're hoping it's good enough and that they'll just go away. And they wouldn't go away. And by the end of 2011, they said, we want you to sign a consent decree. Well, when you sign a consent decree, they have this PR group, and they put these notices out. And the public isn't going to believe you've done nothing wrong when it would say, my company, which is called LabMD, they'd have a headline like, LabMD agrees to 20 years of auditing by the government. No one believes you'd sign something like that if you weren't guilty.
Right, right,
and no one reads the fine print that they say no wrongful, behavior is admitted.
Right,
you just
right.
lost it, and our reputation would be trashed. I said, well, I can't do that. I said, this is just this evil seduction all the way down the road to cooperate with people. So. After waiting for a couple of years, so they finally decided and by the way, this at this point has just completely exhausted some of my staff. Everyone's shocked and they're perplexed and we're like, how can the government come at you when there's no injury? They can't prove it's out there. We think we got hacked. They know who the hacker is. They're working with the feds. I mean, this is insane. And, so we stopped smiling and told them we wouldn't sign anything and they sued us. And when they sued us, the book is that entire story. The book is the story of the frustration, the letters, the communications, the opaqueness, the working with the law firms. And I have to tell you, it's very educational. It's written like a thrill. I think the the reviews on Amazon are very strong, but it's a disturbing story because it's true.
Right.
And well, so now we sit.
Well, so, there we go. Okay, so you're waiting to go to court? Is that where you're at?
Well, no, that was 2013. That was 13. And so in late in the fall 13, after they sued us, they started their shock and awe subpoenas. And they come out. Well, the book came out, and they were furious about the book. They're, because they don't want their playbook and their behavior publicized. These people have a sense of entitlement and power, and they do not believe in the Founding Fathers' separation of powers. They have been given unbelievable power from the government. And the game that's played there that no one wants to have known is, you're going to succumb, well, we're going to run you through so much legal stuff, we'll drain you financially dry. And you're never going to get to court because you're not going to have enough stamina to withstand the fight that we're going to put up with you. And truth and due diligence and guilt are just not even on the table. This is a group of people that wants to make you sign a decree so they can point it up to everyone else in the country as to what to do, because they don't let Congress make the law. They want to make the law.
Right.
And so
right. That's that's what we're into now, with Congress not making the law. The president and his cronies are all making the law. And it's, you know, I don't know what you would call it, a dictatorship, what, but that's what we're into right at the moment. Go ahead.
It is fundamental. I mean, these agencies, and this is the fundamental point and the reason I wrote the book, is I want people to understand this isn't only Obama or now. This is a century of Congress building and allowing these agencies. And whereas the Founding Fathers had the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and the reason they did that is because they knew giving any one branch absolute power would create domination, tyranny, laziness, no accountability. But that isn't what they did. When they created these agencies, they gave them their own courts. They make their own rules. I mean, when we go to court in the FTC, the court is in the FTC building. The judge's email is FTC.gov. The rules are made by the Federal Trade Commission. And you can't get out of into a real court until you go through that. And to go through it takes at least a year and tons of money, as well as how it pulls you away from running your business. And that is
let me break in right here. We're going to go to a break here in less than a minute. And why don't you tell the folks what your website is? That'd be a good start.
The Devil Inside the Beltway.com, and the book is called The Devil Inside the Beltway, and it's an ebook, audio book, hardcover, and soft cover at Amazon, and you can have it any way you want it.
Okay, well, folks, I'm looking at his website. I guess it's Michael J. Darty, Darty.com.
Yeah, it's hard to remember that way. If you do the devil inside the beltway.com, you'll get there.
Okay, well, but folks.
MichaelJDarty.com, I think.
Okay, say it fast three times. No, anyway, let's go with this. Folks, if you listen to this in the radio archives, you go over to our website to do that. There will be a link to this website on our page and with the audio of this that most of you folks will probably be listening to after the live program. But we'll be back in 3 minutes and we'll see what else we can get out of Michael. We'll be back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Few things in this world are more important than clean, pure water. Understanding this, ABR makes four tabletop water distillers available to you for purchase. First, we have the 5.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $139. The second is a 5.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $189. The third is a 3.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $189. And our premier tabletop distiller is a 3.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $250. All our distillers have a stainless steel boiling pot, dome, and cooling tubes. And the premier version also has a splash flap to protect against contamination of the cooling tubes. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com for more information and protect your water supply.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor that come from all around the neighborhood and all around the city looking for food, clothing, prayers, Bibles, you name it, they come looking for it because we are the place for them. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We don't get any help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us now that we're in our 15th year to make this mission church work. Just like I was talking with our radio producer just now, why doesn't Wichita fund us? Well, you know, we're the outcasts in the group. We speak truthful. We and the agencies have a total different story of what's going on with the poor. Like the woman's shelter. He said, I haven't brought it up in a long time. Well, the woman's shelter is kind of at a standstill because we believe it should be locally supported. And we can't find anybody, even though there's women out on the street, women with children, we can't find local support to pay the bills on the place. And that's how bad it is. Why? Because the agencies tell the news media and push to the public that they're taking care of everybody, even though there are a lot of women out on the street. And I know that number is for real because we at the Mission Church don't act like an agency. People come to us for help out of love. And that is the first answer, the reason why they come to us. They're treated as family. And beyond that, we don't have programs for them. The only programs I have is radio programs. People walk in the door and they ask for what they need, and that's the rule. Well, with this kind of an atmosphere, the people talk to me, and they talk to me truthfully. They come for counseling of all different sorts, whether it's about the gospel, the Father being saved, or, you know, other things, which I won't go into. But the point is so we know the truth. We know the truth. We see the truth. What is being presented to Wichita, Kansas, and the news media is another entirely different thing. Yes, I have a couple of people over in Wichita that send a few dollars every week, and those people are a blessing. But really, Wichita, Kansas, and I know I have a lot of listeners there, you should be supporting what we're doing and doing something about these people in this situation in your city. Because, after all, it is your city, and I drive 60 miles over to take care of the folks over there. Anyway, even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People have millions of dollars in their budget, send people to a place that really has no budget. We are responsible to care one for another, folks. Remember that. We are brother's keepers, and all donations, no matter what size, does help. The Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find this information at prophecyhour.com, or you can stop by and bring a donation, food, clothing, whatever you want, bring it by. The homeless need what you need. If you need to call me, you can call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And if my guest is still here, we're talking about his book, The Devil Inside the Beltway. Are you still with me, Michael?
I am here.
Boy, you sound crisp and louder. You must have made it home.
I made it home. Thank you for your patience. I'm sitting in a chair on a landline, which makes every radio station happy.
Yeah, you must have been on other programs. Amen. You know, but you know, for a cell phone, you were pretty clear. So, but amen. I got some questions. As we left the program, you know, I mentioned Obama, and you said, "Well, it's not just Obama." Who is, for the people, can you bring some kind of understanding to them that they would know what you're talking about? Well, if it's not Obama, who is actually doing it? Who's in control of these
things? Well, it is not, I would say, just Obama. The Obama administration has made it much worse and pumps much more blood into the regulatory body. As a matter of fact, I just saw a finance report from a Washington D.C. law firm that does a lot of regulatory work, and they said our income's up 8% because with the Obama administration there's just tons of work, because the Obama administration is just going after people. They're huge regulators, and when these people knock at your door, number one, they think you're guilty. Number two, they're expensive to deal with because you have to lawyer up. And number three, they're not going to go back to their boss that often and say, "We haven't found anything." They want to look like they're doing their job. They got to bring a bone back to their master. And so it's a terrible thing. But I just want people to understand, it wasn't started then. Like the Federal Trade Commission, for example, this last year in 14, celebrated their 100th anniversary. And it really went back in the 20th century early on when they created these regulatory bodies. And the fundamental problem is they gave them so much power. And that it's a big deal that these agencies tell us they're here to clean the water, and they're here to make sure the air is wonderful, and they're here to make sure that our food is pure and our drugs are great and all that. And shame on you if you don't think that's a wonderful thing. But they need to be regulated, just like the NSA is supposed to be protecting us from cyber stuff and so the Homeland Security. Yet there's abuse because there's no one overseeing them. They have been allowed to make their own rules. Congress makes the law and the rules, and Congress made the law and rule that these guys can make their own rules and just run them past Congress occasionally. So when you go to court, the judge is going to say, well, I can't do anything about this because Congress said they could do it. So you have to go to Congress. Now, we all know how easy it is to get something through Congress. So these bureaucrats have ginned up the game, and they understand this. And the justice system, it's like I call, in my book, I call it the long slog of Justice Mountain. Because to get to a level playing field, to get to some place where you're going to get a fair shot in an objective court, you have to go through their court. You have to be investigated by their investigators who are lawyers. You have to go by their biased rules. And, I mean, it's crazy. And most of the time they're attacking corporations, and corporations just roll over. They've got the money to sign the check, and they just roll over.
Well,
I
so,
was,
just,
and a lot of just, times I might have rolled over. But I was in a situation where they were going to annihilate my reputation, and it was going to just murder us. And that's not always the case. I mean, when you go after, you know, a huge corporation, they can take the hit and sign the check and move on and people forget. But when you're a medical facility and you're diagnosing cancer and you've got very competitive competitors with sales reps that are going to take that press release and give it to doctors, I mean, people are so busy these days, they assume you're guilty till proven innocent, not innocent till proven guilty, when you're holding their patients' information. So
right.
We didn't have a choice. I mean, we really didn't. I had to turn it into a positive, and I had to show people that this can happen to you.
Okay.
Ironically, well, now, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of thoughts. So
yeah.
From what you're saying, it sounds like, you know, it's almost impossible to win, period. If they make up their own rules and they have their own judges, is it possible to win?
Well, you know, it's not really. I'll tell you, it's fascinating because we did. One of the rules that Congress did make is that they have five commissioners at the Federal Trade Commission, and three have to be one. Only no more than three can be from one party. So now that we have a Democratic president, we have three Democrats and two Republicans. When we had a Republican president, we typically have three Republicans and two Democrats. But typically, there is a Republican appointee, Josh Wright, who got appointed a couple years ago, and he put out an article and a talk a year ago that showed that the Federal Trade Commission basically has been on a 100% winning streak when they're their own courts. But of the ones, but half of their rulings that crawl through that big swamp and get out to a federal court, they lose. That is a terrible statistic when you're getting overturned that often. And he himself said that shows a inbred bias in the system in the favor of the Federal Trade Commission. That's not what you call a fair day in court. And this is the problem, is that the reason you don't want anyone to have universal power is because then they get lazy and they don't care about being effective. And
right.
If the Federal Trade Commission is supposed to be protecting us from data security problems, they're doing a terrible job because we are nothing but cyber breach city the past few years. I mean, it's all over the headlines.
Right.
And that's because they're attacking people that get victimized. They're not going after the criminals.
Right.
Doesn't work.
So, well, let's go with this. So, you know, this seems like the environment that is geared to actually crush small business. Do they have a bias against small business, or what do you think about that?
Well, my opinion is that they have a bias against business, period. I mean, this is a mindset. An academic mindset. These are people, Obama included. That man's never run a company. He's never employed a bunch of people. He's gone from academia to more type of academic situations in law. Lawyers don't run businesses. I mean, they don't know what it's like. They have no empathy, and yet they have a lot of power. And they absolutely have a bias against business, and it's backfiring. I mean, I really look. The free enterprise system in this country is what makes us so great and different. And the amount of creation that we have and ideas and technologies benefits the entire world. When you have these agencies that have so much power, you turn off the ingenuity, and you also build, you also alienate those people. So in like the world of technology, you have a lot of technologists very much upset right now at the NSA, and they don't want to work with the government. But to help protect us from these hackers that are coming from all over the world, and other governments, as well as, who knows, in someone's living room somewhere, you know, we have to have these people. If you're not a collaborative government, and you're a big bully punishing government, it's not going to work. And I think Obamacare and the cybersecurity problem are two indicative things. When you put people in power that have no knowledge of what they're doing, when you have non-physicians running medicine, when you have non-technologists trying to create cybersecurity safety, you're going to fail because knowledge is the real power. And that's really what they've done wrong. They've alienated people. And this guy talks a big line, but we know he feeds off infighting, creating division, creating fear. This is what he does. And we've had 6 years of it, and it's not working. And he is certainly not good at saying, I'm wrong, I'm going to change tactics. Right now he's doubling down. But I want people to understand why this is happening. And when we ignore our roots and where we came from and the intent of the founding fathers, which is, you know, human beings left to their own devices create a mess.
Have you ever had any religious training? Well, I know a pulpit you can get on.
Although I did start out at St. Eugene's when I was 5 and then moved out.
It sounds like you got the problem.
That's pretty fundamental. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. I mean, it doesn't have to be government. Look at big business. You know, they're sitting here, big business is fine with immigration, right? Why? They want everyone coming over, cheap labor, yippee-yay. It's become borderless. I mean, big business is borderless. These cyber hackers are borderless. These are very secure, you know, and small business is a problem. They crush you. And they pick on small business because they're a weak target. And they can get you to succumb. And they argue. Then they go to court. They build up 30, 40 of these consent decrees. And then they go to court and they say, well, here's what we expect. So this would be interpreted as law, and this should be interpreted as what you should do, so you should have known. And that's a very sneaky way of creating law without going to the law creators, which is Congress. Right. It's a big, big problem. And the reason we now maybe are paying attention where we hadn't in the past is because we're becoming less safe because of it. As long as people were having clean water and everything was great, they'll just leave it alone. But we now have a problem, and the bigger problems is Obamacare and cybersecurity. Those are the two big ones right now. Right. And these guys can't handle.
Couple of things. You just didn't put it mildly. Obamacare and cybersecurity, just like what we saw with Sony, and I'm still not so sure that was North Korea, but. Point being is this, my question for you is, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel? We have a different Congress. Do you think that if we put a Republican, per se, into the White House in 2016, do you think that that might have some effect, or do you think it'd be just a different party and the same stuff?
No, it'll have a better effect. Maybe not as good as some people want, but it'll have a great effect. I was at a function in D.C. in November, for example, and Orrin Hatch spoke. And I've never met Senator Hatch. I've met several people in D.C., but I've never met Senator Hatch. And I'm sitting there listening to him, and it was like he and I just finished a conversation. He was railing against these agencies that have shocking behavior, and people don't understand it. And he really, because when you have someone that gets victimized by the agency, people don't listen to victims too much. I mean, you're emotional and you're yelling and you're upset and people, you know, and you say you're not guilty. And if you want people to think that you're not guilty, you don't scream you're not guilty, because that's what every criminal says. I didn't do it. People don't engage, where he sees it and he understands. And that's why, even in my book, I'm not trying to scream woe is me. I really want I like have their letters in there. I have one of the funniest parts about it that people seem to enjoy is this note that the Federal Trade Commission tells us to not use the U.S. Postal Service. Don't use the U.S. Postal Service. Please
really?
Use Federal Express. No, they want you to use Federal Express because it's faster and the security isn't so intense. Now, that is absolute irony. You know, that is the best, where it's like, hi, we're a government bureaucrat, and we want you to use private enterprise. It's beautiful.
It shows you their mentality. And for the record, I use the Postal Service more than anything. I've never really had a problem with it.
They got upset because we used it anyway the first time they were upset. They're going to have to go down, have to go through security. I mean, it's just, you know, and I'm like, they're okay saying stuff like that makes them look so inanely hypocritical because they're so insulated. So I do think that the Republicans understand this. And the problem is we need these stories out about how the agencies that are supposed to, quote unquote, help us aren't helping us. Because the Democratic Party sees itself as the party of government's the big helper. So when my story came out, and Congress, by the way, in 2014, Congress started investigating. Several people had my book in Congress. It educated a lot of people. And then we had a whistleblower come out in April of 14 and make allegations about this type of thing, much bigger than my company. And that created a congressional investigation, and I testified in front of all the full oversight committee and Chairman Issa in July.
Really?
To watch the Democrats and the legislative affair people from the FTC double down and involve Senator Jay Rockefeller. I mean, here is this guy coming in alleging potential crimes, and what are they doing? Doubling down, trying to cover it. They're sending misleading letters to the press to knock the press off the scent. They're just getting very upset with me and playing hardball. They're calling political favors because the brand of government being ineffective and tyrannical and bad, that can't go out or they'll lose their jobs.
Right.
Now we have a majority. I mean, Orrin Hatch, for one, he got it. Daryl Issa gets it. I think Jason Chaffetz gets it. Trey Gowdy gets it. There's a lot of people get it. And hopefully the public has got to get it because the media is not going to teach this. But
right.
Obamacare is going to teach us. The cyber breaches are going to teach us. When everyone's health care and computer is a mess and the government's going to blame you, that's like you're being on the border of a war and a foreign country bombs your house and they get mad at you because you didn't have the best roof. I mean, that's what
right.
this is like, because it is the government's job to protect our commerce. And this cyber stuff is an attack on our commerce and intellectual property.
Right.
But
right.
these
Absolutely.
Agencies, if they run at us with this power, they'll turn it on us as well. And that's the problem right now.
Well,
now,
I don't know how much. We've got a couple of minutes left, but I want to get this question out to you, and then we can burn up our time. We've got about 4 minutes left. After writing the book, time flies when you're having fun. You had a great interview, by the way.
I'm having a great time. I'm sorry it went so fast.
Yeah, really. You know, we'll do it again sometime. But my question for you is this, brother, is you put the book out and you stood up. Have you had retaliation for it?
Oh, yeah. No, sure. The company closed
right?
in January after the book. I mean, when they sued me, they subpoenaed 40 people. They went on a collective temper tantrum. And, you know, I just won't show them fear. They were going to destroy me anyway. So I consider this all gravy. And they subpoenaed employees currently. They subpoenaed doctors. Vendors, employees that left 7 years before, they scared the bejesus. Imagine yourself working for a medical clinic. You make $16 an hour, you work in the billing department, and you get a subpoena to be deposed by a federal agent. This terrifies people. And then they get terrified of working at LabMD. So it's psychological warfare. It's dirty play. But what I want to do that everyone else is afraid to do is hold up the mirror And I want to hold up the mirror and go, here's your country. You, this is what they're like, folks.
Yeah.
If this is what you, if you think this is working for all of us, all I know is we've got lousy cybersecurity defenses, and we have one less cancer detection center because of this lawyer.
Right.
And if this is okay with you, fine, but I think you should know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this is a great country. I'm furious with our government, but I love our country. And there's a big difference.
Yeah, that's
you know,
me.
And the fact that I can write a book and be on radio and be on TV and say it, you know, it's not like I have people following me or trying to run me off the road.
Right.
And I need the public because the sunshine is the safety. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I am the light. Right.
Absolutely. Just
and
a couple
so,
of thoughts.
So it's been very
I wanna,
good.
I want to commend you. I thank you for being a real American, you know, a stand-up guy, and I believe you're a patriot. You know, you're doing it for the right reasons, and that's what you should be an inspiration to all people because we need to stand up. The problem we have right now nowadays is most people don't stand up. They'd rather just take the easy way out and either pay a fine or just shut up and bow down and go on. We need people to stand up. That's what this country was all about. That's what our founding fathers brought it out to be. So anyway, brother, I love you. You got about 30 seconds or so to say goodbye or a final thought, and we'll do it again, I'm sure.
Well, no, thank you very much. I think it's important that we just understand the fundamentals of this country, and it's a long road, but there's tons of opportunity here, and as long as we don't take it, we won't have to have it, I believe that. So it's been a lot of good stuff. It's not all tragedy. The fact that I can stand up and do it really is great. It's a lot of fun, and it's okay. But the
all
book's
right.
at Amazon all over. Enjoy it, and thanks so much.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, brother, and you be blessed. Folks, it's the devil inside the Beltway. We're talking with Michael. Will you be blessed? We'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah. Well, folks, that was actually, that was a fun conversation. The guy is in good spirits, and you go over to his website, you know, which is Michael J. Daugherty. That's D-A-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y. Just Google the devil inside the Beltway. You'll find his website. If not, you can go over to our radio archives. That'll be on later tonight about 9 p.m. Central, and there will be a link. In fact, actually, there's a link to, if you go to prophecyhour.com, you'll see the advertisement for this radio program, and you'll see a link to his website right there. Get the book. Share it with others. This is important. We need people to stand up like him. This guy's laughing. His company was attacked and so on and so forth, but what's he doing? He's still smiling. He's still laughing, saying, I love America. He don't like who's the people in charge right now, but he's saying he loves America. We need to stand up like this. You need to take this man as an example and do so. So anyway, so folks, we need to do this. Anyway, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. This is the first of the year. I'd like to start it off with having everything paid and caught up. Boy, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? But really, pray about supporting us this year. And, you know, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. If you mail a check or money order, we send you a thank you note, which you can use if you want to use it as a tax deduction. You can also do the same thing by sending us a, it gets to us immediately if you do it by PayPal and we could use your help. You can get also a thank you note. You just have to request it. But I know I have people that have been donating to us for many, many years, and they claim us on their income tax. Well, don't miss Prophecy Hour. We'll be back in an hour and talking to you with at Prophecy Hour. We got a good guest. Remember, if you have a radio guest you'd like to hear us talk about or talk to that's written a book or something, get a hold of me. But in the meantime, we got to get out of here. Remember, there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. That's the first and greatest commandment. Second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And remember, Yeshua HaMashiach gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time with Messiah's Branch.